This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
I will tell you, post B-Day, great vibes going on. All right? I mean, it was a great day. It won. It was so kind and nice and all that kind of stuff, and appreciate all the kind words. And it's nice when nice people say nice things to you. We like that. But also, it was just kind of the perfect blend of doing the thing that I love, which is, a 5-hour daily sports talk show, and getting some great time with my wife and kids. Like, I don't know what more you can ask of the world. A yacht. Bezos money. I know that there are more things, but I gotta say, if this is quote-unquote it is pretty damn good. So I'm actually feeling pretty jubilant. I've been down a great musical rabbit hole today, really for like the last couple days. One side note, the medication the doctor gave me to help deal with my foot definitely is making me feel nauseous 99% of the time. Now, I'm not going to, but I will say, would be a hell of a video if in the middle of talking today, we just got something projectile. I don't think it's going to happen. I think if it was going to happen, it would have, because I think yesterday was more of the mule kick than today is. But yeah, we're doing really well today. And I will say, the take that I'm about to bequeath upon you, and no, it's not projectile, but the take that I'm about to projectile onto you, now it is projectile. Now I've changed my mind, is something that started germinating last week. And it's kind of been kicking around my head for a while now, because every time we have the conversation, whether people in Cleveland are rooting for Deshaun to fail, there is a level of mean-spirited with just the idea of rooting for someone to fail that I struggle with. And I realize that that's a negative connotation that is applied, but that is not specific to anything specific like this specific situation with Deshaun. So I actually wanted to explore that, because the more I've thought about this, I know that there are people in Cleveland who just don't like Deshaun. And some of it's based off of the trade. Some of it's based off of previous love of Baker, or previous now love of Joe Flacco. Some of it's based on the accusations and lawsuits. Some of it's based on how he's played since he's been here. Some of it's based on, and you can see how quickly and how complicated this gets. And some of it's basically placed on that he hasn't necessarily endeared himself in any which way to Cleveland at large. I know there might be pockets of Cleveland that he's done this with, but to Browns fans in general, and to Browns fans outside of specific environments, he hasn't. And some of that's on the Browns, and some of that's on Deshaun, and some of that's on Deshaun's camp, and some of that's just the fact that we are a very provincial town, right? Right? You've got to get us for us to get you. And I don't know we've ever gotten there with Deshaun yet. It felt like we came real close with that Baltimore game, and then 2 days later, good feelings gone. But I was thinking about why every time the Browns lose, it somehow always trails back to Deshaun. And listen, the simple answer is he still hasn't played well enough, right? The Bengals are 0-3. Joe Burrow's not taking any of the heat. Well, outside of like one national guy, Joe Burrow's not taking any of the heat down in Cincinnati or nationally, because they know that offensive line still ain't great. They know that Mike Brown has been cuckoo loca when it comes to negotiating with people and pissing off Jamar Chase. And that defense isn't what it was 3 years ago when they went to the Super Bowl. Oh, and by the way, it's also week three. But there is that nest egg of trust and love for Joe Burrow that Bengals fans can fall back on. And that allows you, when you have that, or good football and a guy that you like, you can then go ahead and look at, well, all right, what are we doing on defense? Maybe we shouldn't let DJ Reader go. Maybe we could have done a better job addressing parts of the secondary. But the more I've thought about, we all want this to be about Deshaun, the more I've realized that's because that's the easier way. And as fans, that is what we're looking for here. It's why, like, listen, this is not an American thing. It's not a Cleveland thing. This is a global thing. People like scapegoats. It is. And Deshaun is an easy scapegoat right now for everything that I said about 3 minutes ago. But I just was confounded by the answers and by the analysis of how Deshaun played. And I thought Ken said something, and I can't remember, I think it was like the 6:40 or 7 segment today, that, you know, if you were a Deshaun apologist, Sunday confirmed your thoughts on Deshaun, right? Well, you can't do anything in front of that offensive line. It's, you know, yada, yada, yada. If you were a Deshaun hater, well, Deshaun's the reason, you know, he's got to get the ball out quicker and, you know, he's got to, you know, throw his wide receivers open and he's wasting a defense. He's the reason why the defense has as much pressure as they do because they're constantly putting in bad situations and all that. And so the more I've thought about this, the more I realized, like, this is a commonality. Speaking of, this is not a Cleveland thing, the idea of we want this to be all about Deshaun because it's easier that way. I thought about what happened in Carolina with Bryce Young. And this was a guy that Dave Tepper, Big Daddy Tep, decided to trade up for and give up the farm to move up to one. And immediately he set him about playing for a coach that didn't run a system that fit Bryce Young. Then fired that coach 10 games into the season. Then surrounded him with nary an ounce of respectable talent, right? We talk about separation with Deshaun's receivers. Bryce Young in his rookie year was working with zero skill talent around him. Washed Adam Thielen is the best that he's got. Bad offensive line, a horrific defense. And then, by the way, they spent this offseason objectively getting worse and hiring a new head coach who was supposed to fix him, and then 3 games or 2 games into the season, they bench him. So, like, is some of that on Bryce Young maybe not being good enough? Yeah, that's fair. Right? Is some of this being on, is Bryce taking care of his side of the street? Okay, that's another fair question. But then when you picture at large, the big picture with the Panthers, well, Dave Tepper has always been a nuisance to football people around him. He's committed the absolute cardinal sin of going through X amount of coaches. What, three head coaches in 17 games for Bryce Young? And I think that's 3 different play callers as well. And he didn't surround him with talent. So as we've started to have this conversation, and by the way, that's the difference there is Deshaun's a vet and Bryce Young is a rookie. Well, Trevor Lawrence, another famed rookie, fellow Clemson quarterback. Urban Meyer was a disaster, right? He's out there kicking kickers instead of finding a way to get Trevor Lawrence off on the right foot. But then you solidify the environment, and now you're wondering, well, how much of this is on Trevor Lawrence? He looked broke last night. I don't know if anybody watched that game, and I get the Bills are better than I thought they'd be this early in the season. Trevor looks broke. He looks like Baker did in Baker's last year here, where you're like, where's the guy that we...
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things, like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
Drafted. So as I've thought about these things, I understand that it's different with Deshaun because Deshaun came here seemingly a finished product. But like even in some of the ways we've talked about Deshaun, well, he shouldn't need to be perfect. You know, he shouldn't need perfection around him. That's why you traded for him. That's a thought that I've heard a lot. And it's like, yeah, that is a good general statement that has nothing to do with being on pace for being sacked 90 times. So is the O-line an excuse or is it a reason? And the big picture question is, who's failing who? And I'll be honest with you guys, it's not as simple as the Browns are failing Deshaun or Deshaun is failing the Browns. It's a little bit of column A and a little bit of column B, and probably there's a concentric circle in which they're not helping each other. But we want Deshaun to be the problem because it's easier that way. Because when one guy, and specifically the quarterback, is the problem, it's easier to address that. You replace him. It's tougher to replace the head coach and the offensive coordinator. It's tougher to start wondering whether Andrew Berry's draft philosophy is getting enough good players here, no matter who the quarterback is. It's tough to address the position of desperation the Browns seemingly operated from, moving on from a perfectly fine quarterback in the name of progress. But in doing so, you completely overlooked what the guy was accused of. You completely overlooked, well, you didn't overlook, but maybe you didn't look hard enough. That's overlooking. I don't know why I polished that turd. But you completely overlooked the idea of rust. You completely overlooked the idea of fit. You completely overlooked, are we the right kind of organization? Are we the right kind of locker room 2 years in to make this kind of move with this kind of noise around it? Because even if it's not about Deshaun, it could be about the fallout from having Deshaun here and the PR hit and the constant questions that we're certainly getting here in year three of Deshaun. I mean, the whole gambit was done under the guise of, well, hey, this Deshaun Watson guy, if you take the PR hit to start, if you can get through that initial PR burst, you're not going to have to worry about another damn thing again, because then it can become about football. And yet, the football has not satiated that half of the conversation. And so that leaves us with uncomfortable questions about what the hell happened with the offensive line. That leaves us with uncomfortable questions about, well, what matters more, Kevin Stefanski having an offense that fits Kevin Stefanski or Deshaun Watson having an offense that fits Deshaun Watson? And Deshaun is the easier path, because with Kevin, you can fall back on, but he made Jacoby Brissett look like the best version of Jacoby Brissett that he's looked like one other time in his career, which I think was the full season he started in Indy, which, by the way, his record was below 500. And his record here as Brown's starting quarterback was below 500. So, okay, did the stats look good or did Jacoby really look good? But again, Kevin had that. Kevin had the Joe Flacco time. Kevin had the first year with Baker. Kevin's been to the playoffs twice. So there's things that I can look at Kevin and sell myself on, and I don't have those things here with Deshaun. And with Andrew Berry, you can point me out Anthony Schwartz. You can point me out this bust and that bust and this bust. But then you can point me to DeJuan Jones. Maybe not for the first three games of this year. You can point me to MJ Emerson or the Mari trade or the Za'Darius trade, right? It doesn't matter that a bulk of the players were drafted either by Sashi Brown or John Dorsey. Well, he's done enough. And he also hasn't had three first-round picks. Well, you know what? We could look at the Haslams, and we could look at the decision-making that led to this, that okayed this scenario, this act of desperation, when I don't know you should have been desperate 2 years ago, now going on 3 years ago. But they're light years ahead of where they were when they took over this team. They're not firing people every 3 years or every 2 years, right? The business side really seems to have done the stadium side of things the right way. way, the respectful way. There's one side of the equation that's been negotiating public, and it's not the Browns ownership. And oh, by the way, they're dangling a carrot that is a big, beautiful monstrosity of a stadium that finally can be the church that you and I deserve to serve at the altar of after 40 years of being on the lake with inferiorly bags, like more than 40, 70 years of being stadiums built on the lake that weren't very good. So it's not easy to say, hey, what's the leadership flaw that led to this very flawed decision, this desperate decision? It's not easy to say, are we sure Andrew Berry's that good? We have too much riding with everybody else, and there's at least the good to say, well, but okay, things aren't where they want to be, but ... I got this good stuff to look at. Whereas with Deshaun, the football's not good enough, right? The engagement with like Browns fans en masse is not good enough. Now it's there's another lawsuit. And now it's, even though the Browns are the ones that paid Deshaun, even though the Browns are the ones that gave him $230 million guaranteed, something no other team has done above $100 million. People forget Kirk Cousins did have, I think it was $90 million guaranteed when he went from Washington to Minnesota. So the simplest solution is, it's going that way anyways, it's all about Deshaun. The problem is, it's not. The problem is, there are big things here. There are fears that we probably should live in that are realistic, that are things that, you know, guys, I'll be honest with you. Deshaun is part of what's holding the Browns back. The trade and how he's played, he's part of what's holding the Browns back from being what we want, which is as good, if not better, than the Ravens, Steelers, and Chiefs. But he's not everything. That decision and everything that's happened, how long it took to finally conform an offense to him, building with talent around him, right? Individual failures that have nothing to do with Deshaun, like the collapse last year, getting swatted in the playoffs. Like, these are all things that the Browns have to take care of. It's so easy to point to the Deshaun side of the street, and you're fair game. You are more than fair to be outraged and pissed and all the things that you might naturally be about the Deshaun trade and Deshaun himself and how he's played and everything that's happened this season, just this season alone. But this is not a situation where it's just as simple as bench that guy, cut that guy, ban that guy for life from the NFL, and all of a sudden the Cleveland Browns get dramatically better. There are still fundamental questions that this trade, this move, this idea has rattled free. It's not just about the Browns. It's not just about Deshaun. And the simplest answer, whether you and I like it or not, is that they figure it out together. That's simpler than just banish the guy to Alderaan.